How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 100 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there and leave a review. Also, once you're on that page, find us on audioboom.com as well. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. And you can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Thursday show today, of course. One more tomorrow before they play the Rockets on Friday night. 100th show. I've made it 100 shows. The FCC hasn't canceled me, mostly because the FCC doesn't oversee podcasting. But no one has canceled me. No one has fired me. It's pretty remarkable that it's actually happened. Actually, I feel weird celebrating like a 100th show because I'm just on so much. Like, it's not like a 100th show of like, it's not like the 100th episode of a sitcom, which is like 5 years down the line. It's like, wow, we didn't get canceled for 5 years. This is an amazing run. This is just me talking to myself every day for 25 minutes a day, 100 times. So I think I may now qualify as an actual crazy person, but 100 shows. So today, to celebrate the 100th show, all I'm doing is I'm doing the 100 awards. I put up my column for in the paper on Thursday morning is just kind of the slightly late quarter season awards, 22 games into the year. So we're a little past the quarter season mark, but 22 games into the year, the slightly late quarter season awards. I have a bunch of awards that I do in that story, which I don't do in this podcast. So if you want to check those out, I've got, you know, like most frequented haircut and, you know, I do have Defensive Player of the Year and some serious ones in there. But I've also got, you know, haircuts and best signature move and all that stuff. And you can check that out on normantranscript.com. You can check it out on my Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Here I'm going to be doing some different awards. Came up with some of my own for the podcast. Took some from some suggested ones from listeners. So let's get into the first one. The first one is something that I actually did do in my piece on normantranscript.com. First one is Defensive Player of the Quarter Season. So the nominees are pretty obvious. Steven Adams, Andre Roberson. I'm giving it to Andre Roberson. I realize that Steven Adams is the more important defensive player, but I think Andre Roberson has an all-defense case. He's really been that good this year. You look at the guys that he's guarded, the variety of guys that he's guarded. He's guarded Chris Paul. He's guarded Chris Paul and J.J. Redick in the same possessions. He's guarded James Harden and done it remarkably well. Carmelo Anthony, remarkably well. Andrew Wiggins, remarkably well. He's Klay Thompson, remarkably well. Switching on all those Golden State guys in a game where the Thunder really got blasted defensively starting midway into the second quarter. But he played a good defensive game and did a good job on a lot of the assignments that he had in that game. He's held Carmelo Anthony to 4 of 19 or 4 of 20 or whatever he was, and Harden to 4 of 16. And like in like that Houston game, which I thought was his best defensive game of the year, James Harden had 6 turnovers. They all came with him on the floor. He has really been a tremendous defensive player this year. I think he's got a case for an all-defense team. I think he's got to be mentioned among really like the first tier perimeter defenders in the NBA right now. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's a great player. Draymond Green's a great player. I'm not arguing that he deserves, you know, Defensive Player of the Year recognition outside of the Thunder. But I do think, I don't know if he'll make all defense. We're 22 games into the year. I do think he's building a solid case. I do think he's put himself into the conversation. Something that Russell Westbrook mentioned earlier this year is that all defense tends to be just predicated on reputation. And I agree with him. I think it's silly. I think it's silly the way that is. It's pretty predetermined. It's so much on reputation. Like, there were years when Kobe wasn't defending anymore and he was making all defense just based on the fact that his name is Kobe Bryant. Took Tony Allen a little while to get on. Took Tony Allen too long to get on. He was as good 2 years before making all defense as he was the first year he made all defense. But it's reputation. Builds up his reputation. Taba Sefolosha made it, you know, when he was with the Thunder and he made it. Reputation. That was a reputation vote. A lot of it is based on reputation. I think the voters are smarter now than they were 5 years ago. I think the how accessible NBA League Pass is now. And I think kind of the voters are smarter in terms of being able to look up the, you know, stats are more, these advanced stats are more available and they're more accepted and they're easier to find and all that kind of stuff. And people understand them better to begin with. So I think that is something that absolutely helps. I think, you know, on-off numbers and that kind of stuff is pretty mainstream now, especially for people voting for these awards. But they're still flawed. There's no question. Not the awards themselves, but the way they're voted upon in a lot of ways, still flawed. So I don't know if Robertson makes it or doesn't make it. And I don't know if he will deserve to make it come the end of the year. And I haven't sat down and actually done out teams or anything like that. So maybe I would put it and I'd say, oh, you know, he deserves to be left off or something like that. But he's absolutely good enough to be in the conversation with the way that he's played defensively this year. Next award, non-Russell Westbrook MVP. Nominees, Steven Adams, Victor Oladipo, and I'm giving it to Steven Adams. I'm giving it to Steven Adams. You know, Adams is probably the Thunder's most important defensive player. I don't think he's necessarily their best defensive player, like I just said. I think that's been Robertson this year. But Adams is that backline guy. He's the guy who is defending the screener on pick and rolls. He's the guy who's the last line of help when penetrators get into the lane. And that's a really big deal for a defense like this, which, you know, if when he's not on the floor, they've got Enes Kanter there, or they've got Joffre LaVerne there. Sometimes they've got Domantas Sabonis there. And none of those guys can replicate what Steven Adams does on the defensive end. He's so valuable to what they do on defense that it's just got to be him. And that's really what it comes down to when you're talking about the MVP. Victor Oladipo has been good. Like, Victor Oladipo has been good this year. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's been good. He's been shooting the ball really well. I think his defense has been pretty decent. He's been good this year. He's been an above-average player on both sides of the ball this year, which is really all you can ask from Victor Oladipo from the way he's played, especially considering how well he shot the ball, especially in catch-and-shoot opportunities. But with what Steven Adams does on the defensive end, with how important he is to their defense, with what happens to their defense if he's unable to play or something like that, and the fact that he's still, you know, a really good screener, a good pick-and-roll threat, a good rebounder, a good offensive rebounder. His rebounding numbers are a little bit down from, I think, what they could be because there are other guys like Russell Westbrook who are taking away rebounds that could be his. So it's not like the rebound numbers are bad, but they're a little down from where they could be. So I think that would look a little bit more impressive. I think Steven Adams is probably the non-Westbrook MVP of this team, although you can certainly make a case for Oladipo because of the shooting that he provides and the secondary ball handling that he provides and the way he runs a second unit and all that. But I think the defense is kind of what makes it Adams. Before we move on, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football or basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium or the arena for the biggest games of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for the weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek prices compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code LOTHUNDER, that's L-O like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOTHUNDER today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So this next topic is from Ryan's Rovers on Twitter. Most unexpected contribution. I think that's a good one. So the nominees are going to be Samaje Christen getting legitimate backup point guard minutes, Russell Westbrook's rebounding, and Domantas Sabonis' shooting. The winner, with drum roll. It's a hell of a drum roll. Sabonis' shooting. Westbrook's rebounding is pretty great. I didn't quite expect that Sabonis was going to be a 44% three-point shooter. And maybe he's not. But at least he's shooting them at a 44% rate early. So I can't knock the way that he's knocked down from long range this year. You know, he's so opposite of the player that he was when he was in college. When he was a post-up guy, when he wasn't taking a lot of jumpers, he made 5 three-pointers from collegiate range during his entire career at Gonzaga. Now he's like a reliable catch-and-shoot guy. A lot of his attempts are open, and a good amount of them are from the corner, but he's not shooting a disproportionate percentage from the corner. It's not like he's like 60% from the corner and he's shooting terribly from above the break. He's actually pretty even. Like, his numbers from above the break are still ridiculously good. Like, he's well over 40% on three-pointers from above the break. So I'm not convinced that this is a fluke at all. I don't know if he's a 44% three-point shooter, because that's just ridiculous for a big man rookie. Like, that's something that we just don't see. So I do think that'll probably come down. But I think it's going to be, he's going to shoot a really good percentage by the end of the year. It's really difficult to be able to look at someone in college with the way that Sabonis played and know that he is going to shoot the way that he's going to shoot, right off the bat. I didn't necessarily expect that to happen. And all of a sudden he is, shooting like crazy. He is shooting like crazy. And it's impressive to watch, and I didn't expect it. I kind of thought he would be a different type. I thought he was going to be good, but I thought he was going to be a different type of offensive player, and he's been helpful because of his shooting, and that's been the number one thing that he's provided the Thunder with. Also from Twitter, from Johnny, I apologize for the pronunciation, but Johnny Say, most memorable Westbrook moment. He also wants to know what the best Thunder dunk was. I'm going to say it's the same thing, though. Most memorable Russell Westbrook moment. It's the dunk on Clint Capella. Thunder running out the clock. Westbrook could have held on to get fouled. Instead, he didn't. He dribbled baseline. He switched hands midair. He dunked on Clint Capella. It was pretty ridiculous. Obviously, Victor Oladipo's dunk on Dwight Howard was unbelievable. I think in a vacuum, that's the best dunk. But I'm considering context in this. If you don't want to consider context and just say which is the best dunk, like best styled dunk, I would say it's Oladipo's. But considering that like Westbrook's was an and one and was basically the ice, you know, it was the dagger in the game, I'm giving it to Westbrook. But you can come at me with Oladipo and I won't complain, because that Oladipo dunk on Dwight Howard from Monday night was ridiculous. Oladipo claimed to only get a few texts after that dunk. Not buying it. No way, dude. There's no way you only got a few texts. That was absurd. That dunk was so ridiculous. There's no way you only got a few texts. That is a ridiculous dunk. And I imagine if anybody's doing that, your phone's going to blow up. People who like barely know you but have your number are going to be like, hey man, saw your dunk tonight. Great play! Exclamation point. Like, I'm willing to bet that when a basketball player gets a play like that, he checks his phone and it's like one of those texts from like a number that you don't have in your phone. It's like an area code that you know, but it's a number you don't have in your phone. You're like, who is this? You start texting people. You start texting your friends. Like, hey, do you have this number by any chance? Your friends are putting it in their phone. Like, no, I don't have that number. And you just never know who it is and don't respond. I feel like famous people probably get that a lot. Because if, like, we get that, then famous people definitely get it all the time. Because people always want to text famous people. So I'm willing to bet that Victor Oladipo got at least one of those texts on Monday night. And I will not report on it because I think the mystery of not knowing makes it better than actually knowing. Next one. This is from Marky Mark, suggested from Marky Mark on Twitter. Most underappreciated player by the Thunder fan base. So nominees are Joffre LaVerne and Andre Roberson, and I'm going with Roberson. I already talked about Roberson's defense and the defensive quality and what he brings to the team. Obviously, he's got his flaws on offense. I know he's shooting better this year, and I think he's definitely a better shooter than he was a year ago. he obviously has a long, long way to go before guys start to guard him and that kind of stuff. He's obviously not great with the ball, not a great finisher, or anything like that. But what he does for this defense, it's huge. And what his skill set allows, and this is something I've talked about before, what his skill set allows when they go up against guys who are great facilitators, guys who run their teams who run their offense through important, high-profile players who are ball dominant, you know, like when they play the Knicks with Carmelo, or when they play the Rockets with Harden, whatever it is. What the Thunder are able to do is they're able to put Roberson on that player. As long as he's perimeter-oriented, Roberson can guard him from ones to twos to threes. Even now, with the way the game is played, there are fours that he can guard. And Roberson is able to guard that player without the Thunder sending tons of help his way. And he stays in front of that guy. And he doesn't foul that often. And they don't really switch on ball screens, which is something that could discombobulate the defense, make it all kind of messy. And his stability in that role, them being able to show that much confidence in him, it's just tremendously helpful for a defense. It's unbelievably helpful for a defense. And it's an underappreciated trait of his. I'm not saying he's unappreciated, because there are Thunder fans who do appreciate him. But at least judging on my Twitter mentions, you know, you see complaints because his offense stands out. Because offensive struggles are more obvious than defensive excellence. And he's defensively excellent right now. And that should be appreciated more by the fan base. Like, he deserves the amount of minutes that Billy Donovan is giving him. I don't think that should be up for debate. He deserves those minutes because he's that important to the defense and he's that important to basically how they want to play. Final category, best dunk contest contestant. This isn't necessarily best dunker and it's not best dunk, but it's best dunk contest contestant. Nominees, Victor Oladipo, who's been in the dunk contest, Russell Westbrook, Jeremy Grant. Here's my hot take. I'm picking Jeremy Grant. I'm sure Russell Westbrook is the popular pick, even though I think it's safe to say Russell does not want to do the dunk contest. Jeremy Grant is my pick. So much of the dunk contest has to do with the personality. And I think he kind of has the personality to where he'd come up with some really cool dunks. That guy dunks so hard. One in every six field goal attempts from Jeremy Grant is a dunk this year. That's so absurd for a wing. Like, that's like, if you're a big man, it's like, all right, that makes sense. But for like a wing who really doesn't play inside, like he plays on the perimeter. He penetrates a lot, but he plays on the perimeter. Like when he gets the ball, it's on the perimeter. One in six field goal attempts this year is a dunk for Jeremy Grant. That's like, and I don't think any of his layups have actually been attempted layups. Like I think he goes up with the mindset of trying to dunk. And then if he can't dunk, it becomes a layup in the middle of the air. But that dude loves dunking. He loves it. And he's good at it. And he's got hops. And I think he's a pretty funny guy. I think he could come up. He's creative. I think he could come up with some good dunks. I think he'd be good in the dunk contest. I would be excited. I'm a huge dunk contest guy. I lost my mind that I was able to be at last year's dunk contest in Toronto. Be able to see Gordon and Levine, because that was amazing. That was one of the most fun things I've ever been able to, like, that was one of those moments where I'm like, I can't believe this is my job. This is preposterous that this is my job. Because I was sitting there and you can't cheer because you're media. That it was hard. Normally I don't find it difficult not to cheer. Like I really don't. Someone does something amazing. Even when I sit home and I watch games now by myself, I just kind of train myself, because you can't cheer on the press row, you can't cheer in a press box, you don't do it. And, you know, sometimes when someone has a really great play, people wonder, you know, it's not about, like, rooting for anyone. It's just like, when somebody has a great play, it's natural when you're watching sports to jump up and be like, oh, I've lost that. You just train yourself to lose it. It's actually not that difficult once you do it enough. And even when I watch games at home and stuff, someone hits a game-winning shot, I don't react much. But in that dunk contest, that was hard not to cheer, because that was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Now, I don't think Jeremy Grant can match last year's dunk contest, because that was amazing. But I love the dunk contest. I think he'd be good at it. Now, there are more people in the NBA who would be good at the dunk contest than are in the dunk contest. So I'm not even necessarily saying he absolutely needs to be there. But if he were there, I would support that. I think he'd be legitimately good at it. I think he put on a good show. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head out to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com and find me on Twitter @FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. Thunder have the Rockets tomorrow. Tomorrow. So tomorrow's show is just going to be Rockets preview. Be talking about the game. Be talking about Harden. Talking about the last time these two teams played when the Thunder won that game by 2 in Oklahoma City. Thanks for sticking around for 100 shows. I don't know how many of you have been around since the first show. I have a lot more listeners now than I did in the first show. But for any of you, whether you came on the first show, whether you came on the 99th show, came on the 100th show, came on the 73rd show, thank you for listening. I appreciate people who actually listen. I don't know why any of you listen. Like, even my mother is like, I don't want to listen to you talk to yourself for 20 minutes. So I don't know why any of you listen, but I really do appreciate that you do. And I always appreciate, like, the fun Twitter discourse that we always have. So keep hitting me up on that. Many more shows to come. Hopefully we'll do something fun for 200 in a few months. But until tomorrow, Locked On Thunder is locking up.